Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Hello and welcome to Refirement Life, episode 78. Today's topic, breaking a Guinness Book of World Record under the mistletoe and other ways to spend your holiday. I'm here with my favorite rock star co-host, Muge. Hello, Muge.
Hello. I think this will be our last edition for this calendar year. And Christine, you again put together a winning outline for us to discuss today. And anytime you say mistletoe and holidays, I am in for it. So looking forward to all the creative ways we can bring joy make our own merry ways, I think. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. So this is kind of a fun episode. I hope our listeners get a lot out of it. We had a unique opportunity this past weekend here in the Washington, D.C. area. And a little background, you know, as a kid, there used to be, and I'm sure it still is in existence, like a huge, thick Guinness Book of World Records book. And me and my sisters, we would like call through this and we're like, oh my God, the tallest man, or oh my God, the biggest twins on these little motorcycles. Like, how are they doing all these things? Oh, the fastest woman. Let's race in the backyard and see if we can match your record or get close. And it was just kind of this fascination growing up. And last weekend in DC, they actually gave, you know, anyone who wanted to bring a partner to downtown DC to participate in the largest simultaneous kisses by couples underneath the mistletoe. And the record was like 425. And so Paul and I and a couple other friends, Suzanne, who's a great listener of the show, Suzanne and Joe, along with 1,484 other couples participated in this record-breaking moment. It was super fun. Everything was really festive and holiday, in the holiday spirit. And we all felt like we've added something to our LinkedIn resume.
Wow, amazing. So how many couples did you say were there?
So the record, so they had us all, first you had to register, and then they checked you in and gave you a badge and scanned you. So it was like 1,485 couples.
Wow, that's a lot. So it's like a really official thing to get
it
counted.
Is.
Yeah, yep. That's amazing. I love it. I saw your pictures on Facebook, and it was just so joyful. And I mean, that's just the Just the thing. There is a really nice resort hotel we like with the spa going to in Houston called Houstonian, surprisingly. And they always have the mistletoe, and Brad and I try to, you know, do the kissing thing. But that's only us. Like, I can't imagine being with so many people. What was that like, being with so many people?
It was cool. I mean, there were all ages, and you talk to people around you, like, oh, have you done, you know, is this, how long have you guys been together? And it varied from like, you know, 50 years to this is our first date, which is, you know, hilarious.
Wow, you got arranged. What a way to go for the first date. I am part of the record. So you guys broke the record.
Yes, we broke the record. And then we were a little panicked. We're like, well, what if Chicago tries to do this tomorrow? Or what if another big city? But so far, good.
Yeah, next thing you know, you may be going city to city, making sure you are part of multiple records. But yeah, you got to keep an eye on this, because it's important to be in the lead on this one.
Yeah, for sure. And they, you know, as you can imagine, you know, they had the festive music, they had like a DJ, they had, you know, the square was all decorated, and then they had the huge national mistletoe, which is like this biggest ball of mistletoe I've ever seen. And then they handed out like individual mistletoes for everybody to use when the big moment came.
Wow, love it. Love it. Yeah, what a way to get into the spirit.
Yeah, yeah. So then I got me thinking, well, there's probably other holiday records that have been broken. So I dug in and did a little research, and some of these we can talk about. Have you ever done like a Santa race or a Santa bar crawl?
I have not, but I've seen, of course, so many pictures of it. That sounds pretty amazing. I have not. Have you?
I have done Christmas in July, which we dressed up in our Christmas clothes and did something like that. And there were people who went all out. I remember like a big guy in an inflatable snowman suit in July at the beach. So that was kind of funny, and a bunch of drunk Santas. But the record for the most people dressed as Santa actually happened in Thisar, India. And they had 18,112 people dressed as Santa, wearing full Santa suits, and then standing together long enough to be counted. So I can't imagine like how long that took to count those people. And that must have been quite a sight.
That must have been quite a sight. I think this is what makes it so fascinating. It's just the size of it that makes it very interesting. Yeah, and then I'm wondering, like, what kind of Santa outfits are we looking at? There could be some variation there as well. Yeah, can't imagine that many people dressed as Santa. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. The next one is also Santa related, but this gentleman certainly had a head start before this record. But for a Santa beard, it stretched over 17 feet long.
That's like a year long Santa, a permanent fixture right there. And then can't imagine the taking care of it. And I am thinking, are there some attachments? How can this even be possible? Which is what makes this so fascinating.
Yeah. And a little creepy. That's a little creepy.
Yeah. A little creepy. Yes, for sure.
On to not so creepy ones. The largest Christmas tree, 221 feet, and that was in Seattle in 1950, and it had to be lifted in place by cranes. It was so large.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's quite a bit larger than even the Rockefeller tree. Like the Rockefeller tree, I think, is what, 100 feet?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you look at these, and it's like, how is this even possible? So, it's sad. And then imagine decorating that tree.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a job for sure. Here's one that is hometown to you. Texas A&M had a 60-foot gingerbread house, and it was made with tens of thousands of eggs and 22,000 pounds of sugar.
I am just so proud of that one, particularly, because as you're calling these out, Christine, I'm thinking, I want to see a gingerbread house record. What is the largest one we can have? Can we live in it?
everything's big in Texas.
Everything is big in Texas. And the fact that it has come from my beloved Texas A&M makes it even more special. And I think I know at Texas A&M and some other places, too, it turns into a bit of a like an engineering feat. How can we design this to be the biggest or strongest, etc.? I love it. Now you got me thinking. I'm going to look into this. Also, I will say there is a very big Christmas display scene, hay rides, different stations near Texas A&M. It's like a complete winter wonderland style, like people prepare for this all year long. So I guess it all goes together with that theme.
That's awesome. A very spirited campus, huh?
Very spirited campus. That's why the Aggie spirit, yes, it's very spirited campus. You can count on them to show up big.
Next one, 14,000 voices singing Christmas carols together in the public square in Poland. And that was in Gdansk, Poland. So that's quite a lot of people. I bet that would sound pretty. I mean, they'd have to drown out the bad voices when you have 14,000, right?
And then, how do you keep that in unison? But maybe you don't need to. Everybody just sings. That's the point. I could have been lip singing, but so I am thinking like putting some of these together, meaning how about 18,112 people dressed as Santa also singing carols together? Like we got to get some efficiencies in breaking these records. That could be really cool.
Yeah, a holiday mashup.
Yes, that's right. Holiday mashup. That's right.
A couple other ones, a massive snowball fight in Canada involving over 7,600 people. That would be insane.
That would be insane. And that I would be, I think, afraid of that one. Like,
yeah,
because you don't know what's coming at you for being surrounded. That is pretty insane.
Yeah, yeah. I've always wanted to go. I think it's a city in Spain that does the tomato fight. That's on my list of things I want to do.
Oh boy, tomato fight?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
While running with the bulls. They also do that, right? There's also running with the bulls. And then I think there's also a similar record like grape stomping. The most number of people doing the grape stomping at a winery. So I think that sounds like a great New Year resolution or put it on the list.
Yeah, for sure.
Now you're on a roll for these records. Next thing we know, you're going to have multiples coming through.
Yep. They're going to get stranger as we go, I'm sure.
Stranger the better.
Yeah, yeah. Another one to mention, entire crowds wearing reindeer antlers at the same time in England, roughly 1,400 couples. So, yeah, we could have done that, I think, with the kissing record. We had enough room, I think, definitely above. Yeah.
I think maybe that's another one to go for. Again, I'm thinking about combining these. How about reindeer antlers while snowball fighting, after which you sing carols? Like, you now that you've got people together, I think volume of it and togetherness, you know, no matter how interesting or at times ridiculous it sounds, you can't help but smile. And yeah. Be fascinated by it, which is the side benefit.
That's right. That's right. I actually like where you're going with the reindeer and the snowball fight, because think about it. Like, you could do sort of a flag football take on it. If you lose an antler, if you still have one antler, you can stay in. If you lose both antlers, you got to get out.
There you go. Now we are getting somewhere. I love that. I love that. Yes.
Hopefully it also keeps the snowballs away from the moneymaker, the face, but like keeps them up above your head.
That's right. That's right. Give you some boundaries.
So, are there any of these that, well, you've already said the mashup could be fun. Which of these would be like last on your list?
I have to say the beard. I am not very big on that one. That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, all the other ones, as you are talking about it, I'm like, I can totally see this. And then what is interesting is, I think it kind of inspires me to think of all the other ways, like the most number of people in their holiday PJs, the most number of people, doing. Something else. So it just creates a bit of an inspiration. But I love my favorite, I would say, the gingerbread house is a big one for me. And I'm thinking about these mashups as the points of intersection.
I like the mashup idea a lot.
Yeah, I like the mashups. Yeah.
I think that's also creating new ground too, like using your creativity to get a record that's never even been done before.
Yes. You know, I think I'm going to go ask Copilot or ChatGPT and say, give me some ideas for some records that have not been done before. I think we have about 12 months to go work on it for the next year. So for the record that you guys achieved, how does it get published?
That's a good question. No, I don't know. I'll have to do some research into that. But we all registered, like, the couple first and last name. You checked in. They kind of scanned you in. And then they kept you in this kind of walled-off place. So you really could, or if you left, they had to count you as leaving, you know? But hopefully, maybe we'll see something on a website or maybe the next book.
Yeah, there must be a record of it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely look into it. So a little bit about why we're drawn to joyful records like this. So certainly they're about participation over perfection. Some of these are really quirky and fun. Togetherness over performance, joy over outcome. And then neurologically, joyful records light up our brain. So novelty sparks dopamine. And that's why they say, like, make sure you don't always take the same way home, you know, see different things, experience different things, because your brain really does react in a positive way. Shared rituals like this increase oxytocin. So that, you know, feeling of love and a hug, it's like a nice, oh, this is a good place to be when you're doing something fun like that. And then, of course, you know, playfulness lowers cortisol, which, you know, read everything about cortisol. It's what helps you gain inflammation, gain weight. Like cortisol, you really have to manage and moderate to be healthy, both mentally and physically. And most of all, like, as we've talked about, these give us all permission to play, which we don't do enough of as adults.
Yeah, great points. Great points. And I think the other thing I was thinking, Christine, is there's always sometimes maybe mixed feelings about the holiday period. It can bring out maybe a level of sadness, loneliness, depending on what's going on. Just even if maybe you don't exactly feel in the holiday spirit, but you go do something like this, or at least think about it, be fascinated by it. And I think it's just a way to lift your spirits from the joyfulness, togetherness, and the fascination with what is different. Because again, it gives you a chuckle and you're like, wow, that is amazing. How did they do that? So I think it definitely injects the playfulness and the holiday spirit into it. So at a minimum, I would say go read these records and be inspired by it. And if there's opportunity, maybe show up.
Exactly. And then I thought it would be fun, and these might not be, and they probably aren't, Guinness Book of World Records worthy, but some fun things you can do at home. Came up with a couple ideas. The first one I actually did with friends last year, and this was a holiday cocktail party, and each person brought their own recipe, and I did a mix. Like, half the group did mocktails, no alcohol, and half the group did cocktails with alcohol, and everybody tasted a little bit and then judged or picked their favorite mocktail and cocktail, and it was super fun. It was super fun. Like, people got into it. It was not just, you know, what you made, but the story behind, like, trying to sell it as a advertisement for why people should really love what you brought to the party.
I love it. Actually, you just reminded me of something I've been looking forward to the past few weeks. I got a virtual tequila tasting party coming up. and this was actually from a work benefit auction item. And during the pandemic, Brett and I really enjoyed these virtual cooking classes, virtual mixology, and we're like, we can use a little bit more of that. So when this came about, I bid and got it. So now we have a tequila tasting kit that we have. There are 6 different kinds. So we're going to go through this and maybe make one cocktail in the end. So looking forward to it.
Nice, nice. And would you do your tasting just tequila on ice, or are you going to mix something with it?
I'm not really sure. So we are going to be guided through this. I am not really sure. I know we are supposed to have 6 glasses. I think you taste it on ice by itself, but then in the end you can make one cocktail.
Okay, that
And
sounds like
don't
fun.
drink and don't drink all six.
Right,
So that's
right.
why I enlisted my husband as the assistant taster to give the support. You need a lot of support in an event like this.
That's fun. Brad will be a great second, I'm sure. I hear that Pee Wee Herman song, Tequila, in the back of my mind right now.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, you brought it up with the cocktails, mocktails, and all that. So I'm like, okay, actually, I've got that to look forward to.
Yeah, I used to make a drink. And I don't even remember. I know there was vodka in it. And I used to call it Santa's Little Helper around the
Oh,
holidays.
there
But
you go.
Santa's Little Helper wasn't a lot of help to people because it got you lit. So we've retired that one. It was too dangerous.
At this point, you need to be helped. That's not good.
So true, so true. Okay, here's a couple other ideas. Inspired by the Christmas carolers, this would be a creative attempt of singing a Christmas carol and then connecting another Christmas carol into it and making sure that the lyrics kind of seamlessly go together. And the attempt is to keep going until you can't. It's kind of like a creativity challenge, but also like getting us all in the holiday spirit.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. The mashup. I like that. Actually, that's super creative because these Christmas songs keep going in rotation. And then
Right.
after a while, you just keep hearing the same thing over and over, starting before Thanksgiving even. So a little mashup could be a really good one.
Yeah. And surprisingly, I have not heard the Mariah Carey song yet. Have you?
Which
I
one?
Don't Want a Lot for Christmas. It's
Oh.
the one that's always like belted out at, volume 30 in every store.
Oh yes, I love it. I look forward to Mariah Carey Christmas special every year. That's just and it's the song, but also the performance, the decoration, and everything else that comes with it. So
Yeah.
yes, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it opens the season, right?
It does open the season. Yeah, so we do need a mashup though.
The next one, so I think everyone's probably familiar with white elephant exchanges. They're super fun. You get to trade the gift and everything. Here's a little twist on the white elephant is you introduce a rule every kind of round. So you could say gifts must be swapped to the left. You must trade using only compliments. And you know how white elephant gifts can be, like sometimes they're not so great. Like there's always a couple in there like I don't want to bring this thing home. Or you must sing your explanation of why this gift is amazing. You can whisper your pitch, get people to lean in to hear what you're saying. So anyway, it's just silly fun. I think it would be a different take on something that a lot of people do every year.
I love the variations because I think we look forward to and also sometimes dread the white elephant experience. We did one recently at work. My contribution was a cowboy Santa hat that also lit up. So it spoke for itself. But I love the variations here to make it interesting. And I think the examples, Christine, you shared so far, whether it's the cocktail or the mashup song or this, it is a little creativity that's going into it, speaking to the neuroscience of something different. It's pretty novel. I love that.
So I guess to wrap up, if we think about breaking a record, just the idea of even as we talked about imagining what could happen, we as humans really crave moments where joy is the metric. It doesn't have to be all about the outcome all the time. And I think, you know, for the holidays, if we think about having the opportunity to really be present, to have a little fun, to allow ourselves as adults to play more often, is a great way to kick off the season, stay in the moment, and just create some memories.
Very true. It is really sometimes difficult to have fun without thinking about productivity, right? It's like, mm-hmm. okay, I could be doing this. I could be wrapping presents. I could be preparing. I could be organizing, just pausing and taking that moment. I think could be pretty amazing, not only for us, but for those around us, people we know or don't know. So let me ask you this, Christine, what brings you a lot of joy? Do you have a holiday related ritual or something that you really look forward to every year? Or are you more making new rituals every year, depending on what's going on?
Yeah, I think some of the rituals are pretty much the same thing. Like I'm a sucker for just white lights on my house. It just reminds me of my dad.
Okay.
And so that makes me really happy. As soon as those go up, it's like season's here. I do like the Christmas carols. And I do like just spending time with family, lighting the tree. I guess it's another fascination with lights. Like I'll watch TV with the lights off, except for the Christmas tree lit. You know, I just love that feeling. It's kind of like a little bit of downtime and a little bit of the magic of Christmas.
Yeah, that's awesome. It does give you that feeling of warmth. Coziness, home, and celebration. I love lights. I mean, if I had my way, I would have them on all year round. and I guess then it may lose its uniqueness. But that is one of my favorite things. So I am generally in pursuit of Christmas lights. Just going to different places in Houston or beyond, wherever I am going. Like, okay, what are the holiday lights like here? It's always beautiful. So for us, all of that, but we also still keep our little ritual of on Christmas Day in the morning when we get together, we all have to wear the Santa hats. Even if for a little bit, you know, our kids are like rolling their eyes because they are adults now, but I'm like, oh, just indulge us, keep the hat on, like for a few minutes, let's have a picture. And then we can, move on with other things. So it's just, again, something that just brings joy and evokes, memories from the past, but also making new memories together. So really nice.
That's awesome. And do the Santa hats have your names on them?
they don't have the names. They don't have the names. So they're interchangeable.
Okay.
because we are having hard times keeping track of these things. Actually, we lost one last year, so we had to go procure it. But they don't have the names, but you did give me an idea. Maybe they should have the names.
Brad is going to love that.
he's gonna love that. Yes.
As were your boys.
yes, that's exactly right. Well, sometimes, you know, it's important to know the name. Make sure, you know, you call out the right person. Sometimes there's a little mix up, but who knows?
Right.
I like
that
idea. Yeah. We got the names on stockings, of course. So
yes.
Why not extend that to the hats? Yeah, I like
it. Right. The other tradition that I've never done, but I think is fun, people say they hide a pickle ornament on the tree. And the first person to find the pickle actually is granted a wish. It's kind of like
that's
nice
cool.
Christmas wish.
It's a little bit like the Mardi Gras cake. When you find the king in it. And I like that.
Yep. It's all good stuff. All right. Well, I think this is our episode. Hope everyone has a wonderful holiday doing what you love best with the people who love you best. And enjoy.
Happy holidays.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.